Blog Talk Radio.
Cause tomorrow might be good for something. Hold on, feeling like I'm headed for a breakdown, and I don't know why. But I'm not crazy, I'm just a little unwell. I know right now you can't tell, but stay a while and maybe then you'll see a different side of me. I'm not crazy, I'm just a little. You don't care, but soon enough you're gonna think of me and how I used to be me. Talking to myself in public and dodging glances on the train. And I know they've all been talking about me. I can hear them whisper and it makes me think that there's something wrong with me. Out of all the hours thinking, somehow I've lost my mind. But I'm not crazy, I'm just a little unwell. I know right now you can't tell, but stay a while and maybe then you'll see a different side of me. I'm not crazy, I'm just a little. But soon enough, you're gonna think of me and how I used to be. I've been talking in my sleep. Perhaps soon they'll come to get me. Hell, I've taken me
was Unwell by Matchbox 20, released in 2003 on their album More Than You Think You Are. And I'd like to welcome everyone listening to a Team of Voices broadcast of Off the Rack. I'm your host, Raconteur. In case you're wondering, a Team of Voices is the name of our group on the allpoetry.com website, where you'll find the links to the poems that you'll hear on this podcast, and also be able to meet some of the amazing poets who are gracious enough to share their words. Feel free to join us on allpoetry.com. It's free to join. I hope you're ready, because now it's time to rack our brains discussing the things that drive us crazy and touch on how they make us think and feel.
That's a mouthful, huh? So, for me, there's never been a question that instigates more questions than what if. It's one of those rabbit holes that, you know, you can't seem to find any kind of real answer for, because it's all based on supposition and, you know, it just instigates more questions. There's nothing certain about it. So, hopefully, we got 20 different directions we could go in with this question tonight, and we're going to have a little fun, I think, with it. Let me take a bunch of people off of mute. First, I'd like to say hello to Pretty Bird. She's going to help us tonight on the board, answering the phones and play it being my eyes. Hello, Pretty Bird.
Hello, hello. And speaking of phones, we have Stephen with us.
Oh, my God. Hello. All the way from Ohio. Hey, Stephen. I bet you brought your wife Kay with you.
She's kind of drifting in and out of sleep.
What if Kay were here? We're going to be doing that all night long, so first victim. we got a couple more people on the phone, Pretty Bird. Just bring everybody on.
Say hello, Sweet and Hatter.
Hello, Sweet.
Sweet and Hatter.
Hello, Sweet and Hatter.
That sounds like a new soft drink or something. Sweet and Hatter.
Sweet and Hatter. Say hello, Hatter.
We're unofficial sweetener.
I missed it too. He's sounding like me now. He's muttering under his breath. Anyway, all right.
Today's today's cherry cobbler day. Today's Walnut Day and Idaho Day. Yeah.
Utah, Idaho. Back in the 80s, maybe even earlier than that, there was Marvel had a comic book called What If, and I used to like that. They would play games with the heroes and their powers and stuff. You know, what if this guy got the power instead of that guy? Things like that. I was trying to find a little trivia on it, but you know. When you talk about comic books, everyone talks about that volume one, episode one of Action Comics, Superman 3.2 million or something on eBay. I don't know if that still is the record for the most valuable comic book or not, but yeah. That question constantly makes me wonder. You know, it brings about the concept of, you know, fate and habits and things like that, you know, and ultimately our nature, I guess, because, you know, if you remain true to yourself and who you are and everything, you know, chances are the outcome probably wouldn't be different. Even if you take that different path, it's going to lead to the same outcome. But, you know, sometimes it is, you know, just a roll of the dice and luck, you know, where you come into money or something happens and your life changes for, you know, the better or the worse, you know, because there's always that possibility too. You know, what if they didn't find my diabetes and I went blind? You know, it's a crazy thought. And we've got about 10 or so writes on it tonight at this point. And the way the world works, people are going to write at the last minute and give us more reads. So I think we'll get Stephen to go tend to his wife. And,
I'm going to hang for a little while until my eyes get too heavy myself. So I'm going to hang for a bit.
Oh, that's good. And you are on the board, Stephen.
Oh, okay. Yes, Action Comics number one is still the most valuable comic book. I had to go to well, this is actually something I wrote a while ago. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I was going to say that's one of the bits of trivia that I know off the top of my head. It was sold on eBay, I believe it was for $3.2 million, but it was in pristine condition, which is also a huge determining factor when you're selling comic books, the condition that they're in.
Yes, indeed.
And the cover price was 10 cents, so that was a hell of an investment, whoever bought it for 10 cents and sold it for $3.2
million. Yeah, if it was original. I actually had a box full of comic books. What if I wouldn't have sold them years ago?
Yeah, anyway. Seriously. Yeah. You pay off that mortgage.
Anyway, this is something I actually wrote a while ago. It says 2 years ago here, and it's actually titled, What If? Yeah, this is just something, you know, I guess a little ranting. What if I had made it when the army I tried to join? I was going to be a lifer. Never worry, I'm unemployed. What if I had pursued my dream? A marine biologist I'd be. Spent most of my life in Australia and floating on the sea. What if I stayed in college the first time I went round? I'd be in advertising, living in some big town. All these lives appealing in their own special way, each with varying hours and different rates of pay. But if any of these had happened, then I'd never met Kay, and surely wouldn't be as happy as I am this very day. End poem.
You wouldn't be here today.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome, Stephen. That's kind of the initial thought that I had, you know, the what if. You know, what if you didn't go here or do this or do that, you know, and ultimately, you know, your life wouldn't have ended up the way that it did today. And you know, I think, you know, that the concrete whatever happened is always better than, you know, the possibility, because there's always the possibility that it doesn't work out that way. And this is, you know, a beautiful example of that, because, you know, you're talking about, you know, your love of being a marine biologist, however you put it, that's, you know, something that still means something to you, and you still kind of have that in your life, even if you didn't become one. But, you know, you got the chance to kind of think about it and explore in your head what might have happened if you had pursued that, you know. You know, and you know, the crazy thing is, well, what if you did pursue your marine biology and Kay's life changed as well, and she ended up moving to Australia and you met her and you still ended up married, you know? It's like, you know, is it fate that brought the two of you together, or is it the path that you chose? This is wonderful, though. You know, your devotion to your wife and everything else, and your history. You know, I was actually going through my bookmarks of things that I've read by other people, and I'm like, you know, oh, looks like I'm a Stephen fan. I think I got like 4 or 5 Stephen poems in there, which I'm embarrassed to say is more than I have of Sweet Pea, because, you know, as much as I like what she writes, I haven't bookmarked much of her stuff, so I got to start stalking her more.
Is that possible? And you have been warned, Sweet.
Yeah, I gotta find the one where you go on the vacation and you panties.
Oh, yeah. Ladies in the 10-foot pole.
Well, women's bitches, the bitches, bitches.
The bitches, bitches. Yeah.
What's the name of it?
That's Tatters and Stephen's poem, The Bitches, Bitches.
Yeah, oh. I thought you had one where you went on vacation and the bed bugs and you found.
Yes, but they wrote a poem about that poem.
Okay. Well, it is after all a classic.
Yes.
It is.
Let me get you some comments, Stephen, on your this wonderful write. Sweet, if you can.
Well, Stephen, I think it doesn't matter what we wanted to do or where we wanted to go. And, you know, we always think of those, oh, my lost dreams. And yet, you know, we never know what those lost dreams might have been, a nightmare. And it's best to live, you know, the nightmares we know into the love that we have. Because I don't mean, you know, your marriage is happy and wonderful, but the jobs that we have now, instead of, you know, God knows, you could have been lost at sea, you could have had the worst boss, Josh could have eaten you, all those other things could have happened. I'm just so glad, you know, you're not been whipped by the Kraken, and you're just doing what you're doing, and you're loved, and you're happy, and I'm glad nothing crazy snake has eaten you in Australia, or a crazy spider, and I'm glad that has not happened to you. And I love this poem because good Lord, all I think of all the what ifs, and that just worries me to death about you. And I'm happy that you're safe and a nice, kind, human, loving husband in Ohio. So I'm glad that you went through this whole poem and realized that. Like, I'm happy.
Australia has the largest concentration of poisonous creatures.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you're not there.
Thank
you. You comforted me with this.
Excellent comment. And Hatter.
Yeah, I find it a little presumptuous that he says marine biologist and gets to go to the Great Barrier Reef. No, I'm kidding. I'm sure it would be fine, marine biologist. Yeah, no, there's a story. Right? It's all about the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Your gut feeling. It's more evident when it happens right in front of you. You knew you could have went, but you stopped, and an accident happens right in front of you. You would have been involved in it. You know, you delayed yourself 5 minutes, and you didn't even know. You avoided the train,
yeah.
You know. And then you get the regretful ones. You know, what if I had just done this? I should have done this. Yeah, it's full of it. It's not a good place to stay.
You mentioned that what if I had gotten there 5 minutes earlier. I think that every time I pass by an accident. It's
yeah,
like if,
yeah,
if, if,
yeah.
if we were going just a couple miles faster, we would have been the ones in that accident. Or maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they would have seen us and avoided us. You know, who the hell knows? More questions. Pretty
well,
bird.
It must be multiple universes where all that stuff goes on.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say that I kind of love when your poems end up about the joy of lifelong love. And you went through an entire life of choices you didn't make or things that you dreamt of doing and all of these possibilities of what may seem as something greater than on paper, in a way, not necessarily. But when it comes down to it, there is nothing greater than the joy you have in the life that you're living. And so I find that to be tremendously beautiful.
Yeah. Excellent point, Stephen.
If I may, I'll just go real quick and say, the Army wasn't my fault. I didn't stop. There was too much sugar in my whiz. It didn't take me. I failed the physical. Marine biologist, I just didn't have the money for that kind of college. And when I did go to college for advertising, I dropped it because I spent most of my time in the cafeteria watching Three Stooges film. There you go.
Oh, what if I got that scholarship? Too many questions. Looks like Laughing Soul and Wayne are on the board. I'd like to say hi to those guys. I hope you're listening out there. I guess we'll go on to the next poem. We'll get your red hatter so that you could drop one when you don't feel like it, because you know I know. You want it that way. You won't have to interrupt and say anything. We'll put you up on the board next, if that's all right.
Sure.
And you are on the board, Hatter. And Rack, I put Sweet's poem about that family vacation in your box.
Awesome.
Okay, this is called. It's a pre-write one that I've written before. I've been here once before. Yeah, that music. It goes like this. Something fills the room as I'm walking through the door. One of many memories, like I've been here once before. Packed bags against the wall, padded corners and locks, ticking noises down the hall that count down on the clock. Dancing prisons fill the walls, windows with flowered lace, photographs of history. Post up in a familiar face. The writing of a song is going double gold, signed by the band, 2 million copies sold. The day I left for music, the day I left for fame, this room is where it all began, the selling of my name. Something fills the room as I'm walking through the door, searching for the memories like I've been here once before.
Nice. I love how you centered it around music because, you know, so many people have dreams of being a rock star at some point in their life. And the other thing you do, too, that I really appreciate is, you know, you mentioned the ticking of the clock because, you know, that seems to be a factor in a lot of things. But, you know, in the music industry, it almost seems timeless. There's so many people that perform well into their 90s or whatever, and they're still alive and kicking. How old is Bob? What's his name? Bob Wyman? He's got a roadie and an IV guy. I mean, wow. Is he still
he's
alive?
He's 60.
I'm sorry?
He's 60.
You said he's only 60?
Yeah, well, no, he's 65, I think. Yeah, he'll be 66 this year.
Okay, who's the dude with Keith Richards that's like, you know, 900 years old?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Wyman. Bob Wyman's the guy I'm married to. I'm sorry, I was confused.
Well, I probably said the wrong name then, but...
I'm just messing with
okay.
you, Rack. I'm totally messing with you. Never mind.
No, that's... I get oblivious. I do it to everybody, so, you know, it's only fair that it comes back at me, you know.
Okay.
I don't mind at all. I get completely oblivious when
Thanks,
it happens.
Thanks, Freebird.
So.
I'm glad you got it.
I absolutely got it. It was hysterical. It's Bill Wyman, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I knew it was a B. I don't know why I thought it was Bob. Anyway, I love the thoughts behind this, Hatter. I really appreciate it. You know, the thoughts of becoming a rock star and you know what being in the music and the day that you walk away. Definite fork in the road, which you know fits in with the what if also when you come to that fork in the road. It's very contemplative and beautifully written.
Thank you.
Pretty Bird, what'd you think?
You know, there's this wistfulness, and you know how I love that touch of wistfulness when you write, Hatter, because there's either joy and laughter or there's just that little hint of wistful in those memories, and you walk in there and they flood you at the beginning, and you're going through all of this story of the playing of the music and the singing and the selling of your name, and at the end, you're searching for the memories. Where at the beginning, you're flooded with them, and so there's this wistful sense of change there that I really really enjoyed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Sweet Pea, can you comment for Hatter, please?
Oh, absolutely. Sorry, Hatter. Oh, no. I'm sorry that you're not a rock star because I think you are one. I think you should be one.
Almost famous, man. Almost famous.
Oh, you're famous for me. The day I left for music, the day I left for fame, this room is where it all began, the selling of my name. I love the last two stanzas. Something fills the room as I'm walking through the door, searching for the memories, like I've been here once before. I mean, deja vu, deja vu. I think that no matter where we are in life sometimes, that we've always reached some kind of pinnacle. There's something about our dreams where we've done something to go forward to achieve them. I mean, just like Stephen was saying, well, I went to college. I was there. I was kind of there. It was, you know, I was there. I might have been in the cafeteria doing what I was doing, but I was there. There's always
I may not remember it.
But, you know, there's always those memories of reaching towards what we wanted to do, whether our path took us left or our path took us right or our path took us somewhere else. So we always have those memories of, you know, I was licking the lollipop or I was eating a brownie or something, but I, you know, I was doing something. So I really appreciate that. And, you know, we always wonder the what if, but it's always great to live in what we have. And I really enjoyed this poem because you talk about, you know, almost famous because you did, you danced on that fire, and I think that's beautiful, beautiful poem.
Thank you.
Stephen.
You know, when I used to work at Home Depot, we had an annual chili cook-off, and that's what I thought of, too, you know, the memory. Something fills the room walking through the door. In other words, that the chili I ate. But no,
The sound of applause. No, it's gas.
To me, this speaks totally of chasing one's dreams. And then returning home with the deja vu filling your head. But, yeah, this is awesome. And as always, Adder, rhyme and flow, you're the master.
Thank you, man. Push no rhyme this which time.
Yeah. I like it a lot because, like everyone had mentioned too, I just wanted to call it out a little more implicitly. The looking back and looking forward aspect of it, you know, you went into it looking forward, and we went into it looking back at what it was that you created. You know, you're kind of comparing the memories that you were hoping for with what you actually wound up with. But
there's no guarantees. No guarantees.
Yeah, exactly, exactly, and then it all goes to perspective too. It's like, you know, your view of what you got, someone else will be like, you know, that's it, and you'll be like, what do you mean that's it? That's genius. What more is there? You know, it's like I got everything I wanted. You know, it's crazy. It's really crazy, and that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Anyway, since. Let's load up a SoundCloud and do Gerald next. Yeah.
And Gerald is on the board. Give me 1 second. And are you ready? Here we go.
Encounter. Written and read by Gerald Green. I met her for the second time at 18 months in her front yard, where all was familiar and secure, with parents and grandparents hovering. She spent most of the dinner hour in an inflatable pool filled with plastic balls and her favorite doll, as adults surrounded her in chairs eating from paper plates. As a stranger, my presence frightened her, especially when our eyes met, so I was careful to avoid overwhelming my great-granddaughter. At one point, my peripheral vision caught her looking at my face, her two large brown eyes locked onto me like a golden retriever with a stick. Background voices increased her feeling of security, allowing a deep penetration into this stranger who didn't invade her space like so many others. She stopped all movement, with a ball in one hand and her doll in the other, while her eyes dominated all other senses. With care, I trained my attention on a tree across the yard, giving her time to soak in my aura, make an imprint, shaping her destiny. I sat motionless during this silent interrogation, allowing her to finish what she started in her own time, without disruption in this 30-second sliver of life. It will be another 6 months before I see her again, and wonder if and how that evening affected her karma. A few hours when this strange but familiar man sat in her front yard. End poem.
That's awesome. I like how he took the wonder of a child, and you could the way he wrote it, you could feel the wheels turning with his descriptions of the environment and everything around her, and wonderful word choices, Gerald. Really appreciated that too. You know, how that affected her life, you know, the fact that he didn't try and overwhelm her or do the overbearing grandparent thing and, oh my God, and pick them up and squish them and everything and overwhelm them. Yeah. This is a wonderful thought, and it's definitely a reminder how, you know, just a casual encounter, that kind of interaction does affect someone's life at a family gathering, no less, you know, or I should say especially, because, you know, there's a lot of stimuli in something like that, and, you know, the things that someone will take away from that, you know, they remember meeting the dog for the first time if they didn't have a dog or something, or, you know, the playing with the ball in the water. And that kind of stuff, you know, the reminder, oh, my God, it's not a bath, you know. Sorry.
Bless you.
Yeah. But this was great, Gerald. I really enjoyed it. And, again, wonderful read, and thank you for writing. Stephen, did you leave yet?
No, I'm still here. Yeah.
All
I
right.
Just,
Before you go, don't forget to plug something. But comment if you can comment for Gerald.
Yes, yeah, sure. Plug something. Okay. Sorry. I told him that I commented because I honestly have words. Other than this is absolutely amazing. The way he laid this story out, it just, you know, at first wondering what he's talking about, and then it's just like, wow. Gerald, just, he's amazing, and this is an excellent write, and I hope he gets a hug next time. This is awesome.
Yeah. Creepy grandpa. No. Hatter, what'd you think of Gerald's poem?
Yeah, this is really, it's just real. It's a nice moment putting words. I'll put what I wrote. Great grandpa, you know, soon she'll be running into his arms when she sees him.
Yeah, yeah. Sweepy, can you comment for Gerald, please?
Actually, I cannot. I was out messing with dogs. I only heard half of it, but I will make a comment for him.
Yeah, no problem.
Sorry.
No problem. No, that's you know, some people prefer because they don't get to go back to the show and listen to get those written comments. You know, it's nice when you get the chance to do it. Leave some love on the other poets that contributed to the evening. Kitty Bird, can you comment for Gerald, please?
Absolutely. I would be one of those unfortunate souls that kind of goes crazy for fat baby thighs, because the more rolls, the more I need to squish them. So there's something to be said about that beautiful patience where you let that child that you barely know but love just the same explore you in their own time, where you don't, you know, make them too uncomfortable just staring at them, where you focus somewhere else and let them do whatever, whether it's stroke your beard or lean on you or just get to know what you smell like. And there's such beauty in that. And the what if in this is he wonders how that affected her. And what a beautiful notion. Because in a world where everybody you meet comes and attacks your chubby face or your thighs or your arms or flubs your belly, and by flub, I mean, and, you know, there's something to be said for allowing that exploration, even though you can tell that he kind of wants to squish her, but he doesn't want to scare her.
Yeah.
You know? And I love
that urge.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of patience. I don't have that kind of restraint. You know, I'm either all over baby or I completely am, no, but I tend to be all over. If it's one of my family's babies, I'm like, no, it's my child. I must squish this child. And so, yeah, I'm one of those. I'm that aunt, by the way. But there's such beauty and love and that kind of patience where it's all about her first and you know, wondering, you know, what if that imprinted on her in some kind of safe way. And it's a beautiful notion. It's lovely.
Yeah, yeah. And what's funny is, you know, the other people that observe you when you're in that situation, they take away something completely different sometimes. They're like, well, why isn't he biting her toes? He should be biting her toes, and they're judging him for it. And meanwhile, he's got the common sense or the, you know, the wherewithal to resist that because he's worried about making a wrong impression, you know? And you know, if anyone's got enough brains to talk to him about it, they may actually learn something. So, yeah, it's an excellent thought. I really appreciated that, Gerald, again. I don't know if Bella's probably not going to call, so let's put Bella up next.
Absolutely. And Bella is on the board.
And, Sweet, do you mind reading for Bella?
Not at all. I'm sorry. I need Bella. That phrase lingers inside me, a pendant dangling beyond cloak eyes. This acid refuses to flow. Burns deeply, echoing to my throat, sizzling my maggoty marrow. If only I interlaced my fingers with eons, and if only I could flip the thorns of my stars, I would not be reading this in a different phase of the moon. For many days and thousands of midnight howls, I tried hard to whisper my aches to the wind, and ask the ebony light to keep it a secret, that I too fold in pieces, that I allowed my being burnt inside cracked vessel that I am quietly written into. And most of the time, I am found, arms bondage to the giblets of faith, struggling to escape from its blistering strand. I'm sorry, but I'm deeply afraid. Afraid to wake up, only to realize that my time will no longer be written in your bones, and I will be hurting from the aches that I shove in your gut. I have no right, will have no right, I know. If only I was whole enough to hold your strength, if I wasn't encapsulated within thin ice, or if I wasn't more than my hidden smiles, if only I have enough time like yours, and if only my breath is extended, then I wouldn't have to puncture you deep. Maybe I would be saying I do instead of feeling my eyes and seeing you deep. Maybe I will find myself blowing I love you to your ears instead of silent goodbyes and poems.
Wow, this is deep. This is gorgeous, Bella. Thank you. Yeah, you know, anyone that's got any kind of affliction and they're not involved with someone, or even if they are already involved with someone, the impact of what's going on with you, and how, you know, knowing that someone has to watch you go through it, it affects you in a lot of ways. And it's constantly a question, at least in my life, is what if this didn't happen, or what if I could do this, that, the other thing? You know, this is just heart-wrenching in a lot of ways. And I want to say it's beautiful, too, in a tragic way. But, you know, I don't know. You kind of leave us a little speechless, I think. Let's start with Pretty Bird this time.
You know, she has this way of writing sorrow and sadness that kind of balances with the way she writes love. And there's an elegance there that pulls you into whatever your feelings are that mirror this. even with words like maggoty marrow, it doesn't detract from this painful notion of fear and sadness and her own mortality. And it lingers well past her words. And you did a great job reading it.
Thank you.
Great comment, pretty bird. Heather, can you comment for Bella?
Yeah, it was when she would, when Bella Weiss gets on the roll, and it's just, she's able to bring the emotions up into through the pen. I don't know a better way of saying it.
Yeah.
I'd love to sit and write with her, see the process, how she writes. Very, very well done.
Yeah. Yeah, I like when what Pretty Bird was saying about the maggoty marrow. You know, she's emphasizing the hurt and what she's going through with that, even though it's an ugly picture. You know, it's looking at yourself and seeing what you're going through in that way. And you know, like you said, you know, that's how she's feeling, you know, and it's really horrible to go through. Sweet, you read it. What'd you think?
I thought it was visceral and deep. It was literally written from the heartbreak. It's heartbreak written in onyx blood. It just pours out, and it just kind of covers you in that darkness.
Yeah. Thanks, sweet. And Stephen, if you didn't hang up yet, I'm gonna keep doing that. I'm sorry, I can't see the whiteboard, so the studio rather. So,
yeah, I'm still here. I haven't read Bella in quite a while, so I'm glad to see that she hasn't changed in trying to give me a headache with her words and abstract. But this one, I think it's pretty explanatory, because of what I see here is, you know, after break of that question, what if, it runs through your head for weeks. You'll sit in your room trying to figure out what went wrong, when it went wrong, and where, as if that if you figured it out, you could change things, you know, to the way they were or something. But, you know, it's done. It's hard to move on, but really that's what you need to do. But that's what this poem says to me. I thought this was an excellent write.
Yeah.
You're giving me a lot.
What was that, Hatter?
You're giving me a wah-wah.
No. I mean, for me, it's like, you know, when you make that tough decision, that's what I see. You know, she's got to make that decision, and, you know, she doesn't want to. She knows what she has to do. And, you know, rather than say it out loud or even think it, you're like, you know, what if this happens, or what if it were this way, you know? It's almost like fighting the question you have to make, the decision that you have to make. And, you know, it's painful and, you know, beautiful at the same time, the way she explains it. Great writing, Bella. Thank you. I think we'll do Bud next.
Sure. And Bud is on the board.
You feel like working, Stephen?
Bella's on the board.
Hey, Bella.
Hi, Bella. Yeah, I can read for Budo. Stay here.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. This is called Comes Knocking. Hello again, my friend. What a complete surprise to see you. Please, come inside and sit with me. How long has it been since your last visit? I could dim the lights for comfort to see you better in the shadows and to embrace your size. I know you passed by my door recently. To hear the gentle scraping of wind whispering softly, my name. You've come for me then, tonight of all nights. Plans all for naught, I guess. If only it fit again, it's just as well. The last time was in a dream, a darkened tunnel in a monochrome blue. You were greeting me there, but I could not hear your words. I could not understand the meaning, but now it seems crystal clear. You were foretelling me a message of this night. I just did not want to face it, nor you. Are you ready, then, to discuss terms? Do I have leeway in this matter? Make a call before we leave? I was hoping more time could be served in a suitable circumstance, but I know there will be no barter for your cause. I guess that is that, then. I guess it is time to go. End poem.
Wow, Spud, man. It's deep. Kind of bargaining with you. Wow. I really like this. Very contemplative. You ask a lot of those questions that I'm sure are gonna run through my head when the time comes. This is this is brilliant. I really like it. Hatter, what'd you think?
Yeah, so he's talking to a what if.
I think he's saying like he's bargaining with death. You know, he wants to make that phone call or get that time.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. 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 I love the storyline and it made me think. I had it, and then as he ended it, I go, I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, and sometimes it's hard. Sweet, can you give a comment for Budo?
Yeah, hold on. Let me get back to it. Sorry.
No,
I'm discombobulated today. I don't know why.
Right. He likes you that way, Sweet.
No, I don't like me that way at all. I was going back to, you guys were giving comments. I was going back to Bella's poem, and I used to not that much of a pain in the butt, but
welcome back, my friend.
I know, I have my favorite student in here. Last time was in a dream, a darkened tunnel in a monochrome blue. You were greeting me there, but I could not hear your words. I really like that stanza because there are so many times when I'm thinking of situations or things that I'm in, or I'm thinking, wow, if I could would have said this or would have done this or I could have done this, maybe this would have gone better. How did I screw up and what did I do? And sometimes I think when I'm making choices or things like that, I don't make the right decisions. And his overall poem is like, for me, it was, hey, what were you doing? What were you thinking? How did you get there? And that's sometimes I think maybe the best situation or where it's gone because I didn't see the right thing, do the right thing, and stuff like that. So maybe it's first impressions, stuff like that. But I really like that stanza because I can always hear myself go back and rethink a conversation. And I like the way he put all of that into this. At least that's how I interpreted it. And I enjoyed it very much.
What if Sweet's phone didn't break up?
Oh, my God. Did you guys not hear anything I said?
We did. You got a little light in the middle there.
Sorry.
We have a caller. Say hello to Laughing Soul.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you doing
tonight?
There. Thanks for joining
for
us.
Having you, Oba.
Oh, always.
Oh, absolutely.
Always. He's welcome to call. That's okay.
But I'm just going to have fun here. Sorry, we both are talking together. It's like
That's fine. That's fine. Thank you for calling, and you're more than welcome to hang out and listening and comment where you can. That's kind of what it's all about. You know, you don't have to. I didn't write for my own show, so you're in good company, I hope. We're getting comments for Budo's poem. I don't know if you got to hear it or not. But Stephen, I think you're the only one that didn't comment on it yet. Pretty Bird didn't. Yeah, I know. I'll get you next. Stephen first.
Yeah, I like this a lot. Actually, I've read this before. It makes me think of the episode of there's a American Horror Story Asylum, the season for Asylum, where Jessica Lange actually sat and talked with the Angel of Death on more than one occasion. That kind of vision popped into my head. But yeah, I really like this, and I of course have been bringing the little Blue Oyster Cult too, and also the Reaper, because obviously, if you invite them in and just have coffee with them, you're not afraid of them. You're expecting them. Yeah, I really like this, Steve.
That's funny you got Blue Oyster Cult, because the opening line made me think of Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Huh?
Welcome back, my friend, to the show that never ends.
So glad you can come inside to inside.
Yeah. And Pretty Bird, what'd you see?
When death comes knocking, that hello again, my friend, speaks to me of near-death experiences, maybe many of them, where he comes, he does, it's not quite his time, we're good, so they're very, very familiar. And so I kind of like that kind of, you know, he wants to make him comfortable, turning down the lights so we can see him better in the shadows. Oh, we're good. Come on in. Like they're old pals, but there's that heaviness because of who he is. And, you know, if only, but then again, it's just as well. It's a little despondent, when it's your time, I suppose. And, you know, he's tried several times before, so if this is it, this is it. And so there's no fighting it, there's no bargaining, there's no, you know, and so there's a certain weight to that that just kind of settles in your chest a little bit. And I like when he goes dark, because when he goes dark, he goes dark. And there's no, you know, light shadows. There's no guessing at a hint of pain. He's either his pleasant, joyous self, or he's in it. And this is very much in it, and has a lot of weight. You gotta love a poem that makes you feel.
Yeah. Great job, bud. Laughing Soul, did you hear the poem?
No, I couldn't hear. I just connected.
No, no problem. No problem. No problem. And thank you for calling, by the way.
But Budo is like, he's a fantastic writer anyways, and his music is amazing. And he's got a lovely smile on his face always.
He's got a Brody that follows him along and picks up all the women's lingerie that gets thrown at him while he's singing.
Again.
Hey, Steven, now's probably a good time if you got any shows you want to plug.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that real quick. I'm going to hang for one more for Sweets, then I'm going to take off. But yeah, our show at A Poor Choice of Life is tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's the Poetic Inklings, and we are focusing on the movie, on the Black Thing, Helena. If you've not seen it, check it out. It's
I need to write for that.
We have quotes from the movie, and we have the music from the soundtrack to write here. Check it out.
That's a twisted movie. So, you know, right up my alley.
The title's a little misleading. When I first heard it, I'm like, you know, what is this about, women's boxing? Wait. Anyway. Well, not really. It's an interesting movie if you haven't seen it. All right. I from the looks of it, Lady A's probably not going to call, so I guess we could put her up next.
I put
you
Sweet up
here
on the board.
I'm sorry?
And I put Sweet up on the board. Lady A usually shows up around the last hour, so I would give her a few minutes.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Will you take me instead?
I'm not going. It's not that Sunday.
Okay. So this is TikTok clock back in time. Am I looking to hurt him, hoping to push him to stay, hoping to push him away? Am I testing him, wondering how far my behavior will go before he cracks and goes back to his unfaithful ways? Am I the reason for the treason? Did I fall from the tower, break in sour, lie in the mud, become someone he couldn't love? Why now does he say it's all different today when it's only been weeks since he was weak? Playing hide and go seek, angry and crushed, how do I muster my trust? Live for today, not run away. Stop licking my wounds, trying to stop the infection of fleeing that is seeping and oozing. Hands pulling and reaching, grasping knives in my back, shrapnel cuts deep, pain set on repeat. Forgive or weep, love or laugh, choose the next step on the journey. Time tick-tocks. Tomorrow, stay silent. No promises. End poem.
Oh, pain set on repeat, huh? I mean, there's so many gems in this. It's one of those poems I could sit here and try and like pick it apart, and then I'll end up quoting the whole damn thing, as blind as I am. I mean, this has got so much in it that's powerfully relatable. I mean, there's a sense of guilt to it that I'm getting, you know, wondering if you're the reason for, you know, the way things happened, how much of it are you responsible for, you know. But, you know, this always, because, you know, you're not a stupid person, that underlying, you know, I know it's not entirely my fault, but how much of it really is thought to it. The unfortunate decisions and the way it plays out, this is just dripping with emotion and wow. Yeah, I really like what you did with this suite.
Thank you.
This is just, yeah, it's, you always make me want to hug you, and not in that way.
It's poetry, okay? It's just poetry.
You know, that's the thing that's a testament to your skill, that people forget that, you know, there's this word called fiction, you know, and it's not, you know, and as poets too, we sometimes go over the top and exaggerate a little bit to draw out that emotion and make it more relatable. So yeah, there's that, but you know, then you look into those eyes of yours and you just can't help but melt. So anyway.
Aw, thank you.
I'll let you comment now, Pretty Bird, because I know you're going to want to yell at a couple of those lines.
Me? Yell? Me? No. Not at my suite. I'll yell at you, though, if you really want. And we have Lady A calling into the studio. So say hello, Lady A.
Hello.
We just read Sweet's poem. So we just read Sweet's poem, so we're just now starting to get comments if you wanted to look that over real quick.
Okay.
And all right. Sweet, my sweet, my sweet, my sweet, I have words. My words are this. Don't make me cry. All right. Now, there's so much, you know, in this, because perfidious acts are really hard to get over, because trust is, you know, when you weigh it against a life, it doesn't seem like it's undoable. Like, you don't want to undo all this stuff. You can get past it. You can regrow. It'll take time. But in that time, every ounce of it is pain. And this whole, am I looking to hurt him? Because, you know, when there's that betrayal, you want to get back at them, but you don't really, but you do, but you don't. And so if I push him hard enough, will he realize that this is where he wants to be, or can he just go once and for all? These are tortured ideas. And there's, and in here, it reads very much to me of that back and forth in inner dialogue, that when you're hurt, it's how do you trust yourself?
how do you even know what what it is and the whys, and you never would have, so how could they? It must have been me, when really it's not, because there is like no scenario that if you're in a life with somebody, it doesn't warrant a conversation of some sort to give somebody a hint that somebody's unhappy, you know, if they're obviously not picking up on it. So, yeah. So there's all of that, and it kills me. It kills me. Like, it's at the surface of my skin killing me, because I you know. Am I the reason from the treason? Did I fall from that tower? And then that goes to, if so, how? And what if I can fix it? What if I can rebuild it? Will he stay? Will he do it again? I mean, if he did it the first time, and how do you... Oh, you're killing me.
Yeah.
I'll shut up now.
at least on this subject. Laughing Soul, can you comment for Sweet Pea, please?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
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 This poem speaks of melancholy. You know, it's life drenched with hurt, pain, anger, broken trust. And yes, you were right, you know. Broken trust kills worse than any dagger. I mean, hands pulling and reaching, grasping knives in my back, stab him, haunting memories. But, you know, it's like you want to kill those
you trailed off.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Now.
Okay, if I switch screens, it disconnects. Sorry, I'll be quick. So, yeah, we think we can kill these memories, but they keep, you know, it's like a boomerang. They keep coming back shamelessly. And knowing the poems I've read of Sweet Pea, I was actually looking for a crime scene in the end, you know. Oh, gosh,
well,
you didn't. You failed me. This is great poem again.
Thank you.
Nobody got murdered in this one.
I was actually looking for it.
Yeah, no, I know. I know what you're saying. Yes. We can't put Sweet Pea in a box because she'll put you in a box.
In pieces.
Steven, can you comment for... Can you comment for Sweet?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely this piece is definitely the epitome of what if. Because my comment that I just put on your poem is pretty much a bunch of questions. When I should have turned right? Was it something I did? Is this my fault? You know, what could I have done differently? Can things ever be the same? This is very powerful, Sweet. Very well done, and it fits perfectly for tonight.
Thank you.
Great. And Hatter, you get the last word on? No, you don't.
He beat you to it. You question everything, and then you question the reason. To say the things he's saying now, and then it turns dark. Losing the knives in the back. A little anger there.
A little bit.
But you know, it's a combination of anger at herself and anger at the situation, too, I think. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe, anyway.
How dare you.
Lady A, can you comment for Sweet?
Yes. This is a painful poem for sure, painful circumstances. It's much easier to forgive than it is to forget. The only thing that I can say about a situation like this, and I said it to my sister-in-law one day, she and my brother were married, and he was a philanderer, and 10 years after the fact, he wanted her back. Well, she came And he had a long history of their entire marriage of cheating on her. And she came to me and asked me what I thought. And when I first, about them getting back together, and I fell off my chair, I said, can you forget? Will you be able to, if he's sincere and all of that, will you be able to not throw that in his face when you're mad, or can do you think that you're able to put that away forever, to start over again, to start that relationship again? If you cannot do that, go back together. If you can, then you have to make an effort and a try as though it never happened. Hard to do. Don't know if I could, but I think that that's how we all have to look at that when you have something like that happen. And I'm speaking to myself as well. You know, I tried to make, there was a time when I tried to get back together with my ex-husband, and I knew that I couldn't. I knew I couldn't. Why? Because he would throw things up at me, and I just couldn't do it. And so if you feel that if a person feels they're able to do that, then full speed ahead.
Great comment. Thanks, Lady A. Pretty Bird, you want to put yours up next?
Yeah, I'll do that. Okay.
I tend to
go dark, and before I post it, I'm just going to explain my title. Because I touched on it before the show had started. So if you believe in fate or destiny or any hint of predestination, then it doesn't matter what you do, what choices you make. Eventually you'll get to where, you know, you're supposed to be, good or bad, whatever you need to go through, you'll go through. Now, having said that, this is every road leads up my ass. So give me one moment. It is on the board. Okay, and it goes like this. Twisted branches on lifeless trees that bore the falling of expectation. Fear not or fear always. It's those quiet shoulders that tremble neath the weight. Time and friendly foes carries duct tape and dreams and empty hand baskets. Clenched eyes see no journey but the grating of skin sliced open. Snapping twigs and picked switches that welt before the sting sets in. Held in closed-fisted yesterdays, where nothing else can grow, and we cannot smell its death. That damn cat in closed boxes will suffocate, eventually. Given enough passage, air turns rancid through dreams undreamt. Walking through the valley, eyes stapled shut, double-fisting yesterdays, I walk in circles or lines or into those trees that block the path to nowhere. Broken cobbles trip a tongue into believing, and the truth smells like fresh-cut grass and quicksand moments. Prying eyes bleed in moonlit reverie, still bound in mist and mayhem. The aftermath of choices versus no choice to be made still fries in the same stagnant vat, and all of it gets chewed without tasting, and is still hard to swallow. It is my only sustenance grown in self-made fertilizer, feeding and refeeding on what should be spat, lost in twisted branches on lifeless trees that bore the falling of expectation. End poem.
You always do this to me. Your relationship with your emotions, the way that you put them on the page, are just so visceral. I don't even know where to begin with this. You know what? I'm going to begin with and kind of cop out because, yeah.
Sweet and Steven both dropped.
Of course they did. Lady A, can you comment for a Pretty Bird?
Yeah, I hope Sweet wasn't upset with my comment.
No, she had to go.
Okay. I thought it interesting when I first saw this, the second couplet, fear not for fear always. or fear always. It's those quiet shoulders that tremble neath the weight, W-A-I-T. I don't know if anybody else caught that or not, but that was very interesting, that word, that one word. I think that clenched eyes see no journey, but the grating of skin sliced open. This was very, wow. This was a...
yeah, exactly. She does it up...
It can be interpreted in so many different ways. You can pick a scenario and stick it on it if you wanted to. I think this says a lot. The aftermath of choices versus no choice to be made still fries in the same stagnant vat. And all of it gets chewed without tasting, and it's still hard to swallow. Oh, my goodness. I have a lot of things running through my mind right now. I think that regret is something that eats us alive. And really what needs to happen, and I'm no better than anybody else because I struggle with choices that I've made too and still struggle with some of them. But we have to forgive ourselves for if we feel the need to, so that we're not haunted. The haunting is our own doing. And it's no simple thing. It's no simple thing because it creeps back in. Something reminds you of this situation or that situation, and it's put in front of us constantly in different ways. This is a really, really terrific write, and I mean, you could, like I said, you could staple any kind of scenario to this, and there's one that sticks out in my mind. Really strongly, I'm not going to say it out loud, but time and friendly foes carries duct tape and dreams in empty handbaskets. This is really something else. I think that this is cryptic in a lot of ways, and I don't have any knowledge of the reason that it was written. The aftermath of choices versus no choice to be made still fries the same stagnant vat. Yeah, no matter what choices you make, it doesn't come up smelling like a rose.
I find it interesting that
lifeless trees that bore the falling of expectation. This, I would love to talk to you privately about this.
I find it fascinating and kind of brilliant that you see this as things that are haunting. When I wrote it as my acceptance of all the things that have made me who I was. So I kind of love that actually. So I'm absolutely fascinated. And we have Deb. Let's say hello to Deborah Lee.
Hey, Debs.
Hi, Deb.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
We're having some fun tonight talking about what ifs. And Pretty Bird just put us through the ringer with her. I didn't see any regrets like you said, Pretty Bird, in what she had written. I think too often people tend to read you and they try and figure out why or you wrote what you wrote rather than focus on the emotions that you bleed onto the page. For me, that's the key to enjoying your writing, your relationship with your emotions and the way you just, you know, put it out there. And you go from A to B in a very clear way because, you know, your guidelines and your thoughts are you know, pretty clear on why and all of that other stuff that revolve around it. Hatter, what did you think of Pretty Bird?
Hatter had to go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he
got
sick at night.
All right, so I guess that's it for us now.
Hello, you
Paul,
still there?
I'm sorry. I thought you dropped. Oh my God,
no.
You were saying good night. I thought you hung up. I'm so sorry.
God bless you, Stephen.
Hi, Deb.
That's Laughing
Hello.
Soul, Deb. She's
How
I believe
are you?
She's calling in all the
I'm
way from
good,
India.
My lovely. So, Rat, I'm
Oh, my goodness, that's awesome. That's awesome. I can't believe it. Talk about a long-distance phone call.
Yeah, we are speaking for the first time, I guess.
Yeah, love and respect to you.
Love you, girl.
And,
will you comment, Zach, whether you want it or not? I am going to comment for my lovely pretty bird.
definitely want you to comment, and then you're gonna, and then we'll put you up next.
And I'd say, oh, my God, amazingly worded. You know, it's acceptance or falling off expectation that is what decides the rest of the journey. And in your poem, you know, mention of words like closed-fisted, trees that block the path to nowhere. The choice of not wanting to letting go and move on. And time, it really doesn't heal, is it? And it's only substitute for what's lost, which is clearly stated here, that helps us move on. And this is what I get. And I know it because I've been there. So, yeah, it was quite a relatable poem.
I appreciate what that.
What if we just chop off those trees and move on?
Yeah, that's my dead little tree of life. So.
We need sweet peas dagger.
There you go.
I think Sweet Pea would have had someone hanging from those trees.
Oh my goodness.
Can we put Left and Soul
she's
up next?
She's on the board.
I don't remember which phone.
Yeah, sometimes you have to refresh.
Yeah, I got it. It's more of what if in the future, probably. I hope there's not too much for background noise because they're fogging over here. Just give me a second. Can I just close the windows, please?
Go ahead. That has a totally different meaning in the computer world. Close the windows. Wait a minute. My computer just turned off.
And there's going to be a lot of noise. Do you want to read somebody else before me? Come next.
We've got Wayne, Frank, Deb, and you, I think, are the only ones left. Right, Pretty Bird?
Oh, I've had one in there all along.
Yeah, Lady A has one. Wayne doesn't actually have one up on the board. He didn't post one. He just commented. But she asked if somebody could read for her.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought she wasn't counting on calling. That's why she said that.
Okay, I'm back. Actually, we had a cyclone, you know, day before yesterday. So today there's a little fogging and all going on. Okay, I think I'm clear now, right? Can I read it?
Yes.
If you like, we'd enjoy that.
Okay. To dust forever. Sometimes I wonder when I die, will it be night or a new morning? Will there be crevices somber on my face, or will I be smiling? I look at the ebony sky sometimes and wonder, my bereft soul, will there await a new song in the offing of twilight? Or my poems evermore shall my soul cajole? I see sometimes a carriage of stars, and my heart yearns to wander to the land of honey and celestial moonlight, to the cosmic abode I see in yonder. Maybe tonight shall be the night. Maybe tonight it will be the most beautiful ever. To dust shall be my mortals. To shades of truth shall imbue in my soul forever. End poem.
Wow. I don't know how long you've been on the site, but, you know, I'm just getting familiar with your stuff, you know, from the other channel and from, you know, your time here, and you've got a beautiful pen and a lovely way of expressing yourself. If I didn't know that English wasn't your first language. I mean, your execution is better than some people that you know, speak it natively. Your words choices are gorgeous, and thoughts are absolutely stunning. This is very contemplative to me and beautiful, and it speaks so much of the you know, am I going to wake up tomorrow contemplating your mortality kind of thing. This is really gorgeous. Thank you for sharing it with us tonight.
Thank you. Here in India, okay, at home, I speak Hindi, and my parents, we've been all educated. The you know, the English that we have in India is the British English, you know, not the American.
Okay.
And even though my first language is Hindi, but we mostly speak English. Yeah. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. I don't mean to make that like it's, you know, anything, an issue or whatever. I it's just...
No, it's cool. I completely understand. I mean, it's
really
okay. Yeah.
Deb, can you comment for Laughing Soul?
I would love to. Yeah, for one, your voice is very beautiful, and it added such great dimension to your poetry. The title's awesome. I love the photo that you wrote to, because you like captivated it and enchanted it, and I could really just grab any one of the stanzas and call it my favorite, which means I need to save the poem. But then I see sometimes a carriage of stars, and my heart yearns to wander to the land of honey and celestial moonlight, to the cosmic abode I see in yonder. I love that stanza. I think that you did a beautiful job with this poem. And it was so nice to hear you.
Oh, thank you so much. I love you. Thank you.
Thank you. Great comment, Deb. Lady A, can you comment for Laughing Soul?
Yes, I thought it was a beautiful piece, and I loved hearing your voice reading it. I think you have peacefulness about you, and I like that. I like that you have you're able to convey that in your writing. I'm just trying to bring it back up here. Hang on a second, because I always lose my thought. I get looking around and commenting, and then I lose my thought. sorry about that. I'm still looking. That's awful. Okay, I've got it now. But I think that you have a positive outlook on things, and you write in a beautiful way. Like, I love the verse, third verse. I see sometimes a carriage of stars, and my heart yearns to wander to the land of honey and celestial moonlight, to the cosmic abode I see in yonder. Like, that's really so beautifully poetic, and hearing you have those words fall off your tongue, it makes it even more so. It was just a very beautiful piece that you've written, I loved it.
Thank you, beautiful soul.
You're most welcome.
And Pretty Bird, you get the last word on this one.
I love the whimsical feel of this. And you start off, sometimes I wonder when I die, and instead of feeling like, for instance, Budo's poem that was, when death came knocking there, it was a, well, all right, if I must. This is almost a childlike wonder of longing of being a part of those stars and that and the universe and finally being able to see all and understand and just elevate. And Deb, you picked the perfect word when you said, you know, enchanted, and it feels that way. There is a beauty in this. It's not sad. It's not dark. It is truly lovely. And you contemplate in that first stanza, you know, your mood or age or both when the time comes when you pass. Will there be somber crevices? Will you be smiling? You know, and at the end, it's just, you know, joy. Maybe tonight
should be tonight. Maybe tonight it'll be the most beautiful ever. And the whimsy in that is just delightful.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Beautiful comment.
Made my morning. Thank you so much.
12-hour time difference.
Yeah, it's 10 a.m., yo.
Wow. All right. Let's put Lady A up next.
Absolutely.
Are you in a rush, Deb? Is that okay?
That's cool.
And Lady A is on the board.
I just missed my comment here. First of all, I want to say that I really liked your spin on the topic tonight, Rack, because it was a different way of writing, for me anyways. And I changed the title and added a little bit to it. It's called Destined. And so here it is. We are destined. It is written, planned, determined eons before we are born. What if we had the power to turn back time to orchestrate our own lives? Imagine the numerous things we could change. Let us begin at the beginning. August 11th, 1954. They waited, anticipated. They created me. She caressed my tiny self to her bosom. I was held. Fingertips spilled love, nose nuzzled, lips kissed, arms snuggled, sparkling clean jammies swaddled in cotton from head to my bottom. Upon her lap I sat. The rocking chair kept time with every pat, a rhythm established in sync with the rocking hand on my back. Tap, 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 forward, back. Tap, 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 tap. Quietly, Irish lullabies, little boy blue, sung in my ear, hush, little baby. Security in a simple touch, I could feel she loved me so much. Books and games, vacations on trains, to the beach each year we came. Sun and sand each day we'd spend swimming and digging clams. Under her watchful eye we played, knowing we were safe each day. Homework done, she made it fun to learn, glowing report cards each term, good habits ingrained from K to graduation, A's were maintained, scholarships won, university well done, an RN I had become, valedictory address honored mom best for giving me life, love, and happiness. What if you asked? The possibilities are endless. End poem.
That was the point. The possibilities are endless. This is beautiful. I thought you were gonna go. What if Lady A was Master Murphy? You know. you went back to the beginning. I thought you were gonna. What if I was born a guy? You know, the differences, the different challenges going through life as a man as opposed to a woman. There's so many different possibilities, so many different ways. And you know, the funny thing, too, is, you know, the way science is now, you could fix that. So, you know, if that's what you had wanted, you could find that out. So, yeah, but this is a beautiful walk down memory lane. Hopefully those were actual memories and you weren't being like, you know, what if that was what had happened as opposed to, you know.
No, it was what if. What if I turn back to time?
Okay.
This is how I would have wanted it to be. It was not.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought. That's unfortunate, you know. The way our lives don't always turn out the way that we want. You know, but you know, who's to say if you know, you got those straight A's, if it would have turned out differently too, like everyone else talks about. It's that damn rabbit hole, you know. It's like you say, the possibilities are endless. It's possible that you could have gotten those A's and it still would have turned out the same. It's possible it would have made a difference in your life and you would have been miserable. You know, it's really hard to tell. Like Hatter was talking about, you know, being a musician. You know, there's the glamorization of that life. you know, the parties and everything, and, you know, the idea that, you know, well, you're never going to have a bad day. And then you look at someone like Sam Kinison, the way his life turned out, you know, he partied to death. It was like, you know, did he enjoy himself? Who's to say? Robin Williams acted like he was enjoying himself, and then he turned around and killed himself. So it's really hard to judge and hard to think about. You know, there's so many different possibilities, and this is a beautiful take on the prompt. Great job, Lady A. I really enjoyed this a lot. Thank you.
Thanks.
Deb, can you comment for Lady A?
Sure can. I like all the tender details throughout it with stuff like anticipated. They created me. She caressed my tiny self to her bosom. I was held. Fingertips spilled love. And a little further down, security in a simple touch. I could feel she loved me so much. Books and games, vacations on trains to the beach. Each year we came. It's like the little snippets from memories that show that these things all piled inside you, influenced you, turned you into the Lady A we all know and love, and as you said, the RN you became. So, like, really cool.
Thanks very much.
I think that's kind of what makes it sad, though, because if you attach what if to that, that means that wasn't the upbringing that she had, you know, and that's what makes
Here's what I did with this. I wrote my look back in time was, and what if I had a mother like that, you know?
What I was saying is, even if you got all the sweetness that you maybe fantasized about, that you sometimes mention on the other shows, by the end of it, you still became that nurse.
Yes.
Good or bad or whichever path you still, so the end, the means might have changed, but the outcome hasn't.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Because that's what we have to do when you have something like that, you grow up that way. It's a choice that you make to become bitter or better. And that's exactly right. You're exactly right, Deb.
That's a wonderful attitude, Lady A. Laughing Soul, can you comment for Lady A, please?
Yes. And this piece, this poem, this lay of emotions, it really moved me. What if you ask? That was enough to, you know, say it all. The possibilities are endless. Needless to say, you've woven a dream, a yearning, a pain that will forever stay. But I'm so glad that you chose, you know, kindness to bitterness. And it shows what you are, you know, the warmth that you, you know, have. It really shows. You know, I'm sending you a warm, warm, warm hug right from India. And you know, during this pandemic, I mean, just yesterday I got a message. Two kids, you know, are looking. They're up for adoption. Both the parents died to, you know, they lost their battle to COVID. So it's a very, and it's happening worldwide. It's happening everywhere, you know. And you just need to, I think, keep praying for all those orphan children right now.
Oh, dear.
Not an easy time.
No.
So, yeah, lots of love from me, from India. And can I hang up now? Because
you don't have to ask permission. Of course you can. Thank you for calling us. We really appreciate you calling.
My kitchen will be on fire. So,
we can't have that.
Okay, guys.
Thank you so much
for having me over.
It was a pleasure to meet your voice.
See you. Bye-bye.
And Pretty Bird, if you could comment for Lady A.
Oh, absolutely. I love the idea of a redo of all the things that we wish we had or want, or all the things that are different from now that must be better. But if we go to fate or any of those notions of how things may or may not be in relationship with each other, then, like I said before my poem, it doesn't matter. Sometimes the journey will be rougher and the road will be more twisty, but and you'll get where you're supposed to be and go through what you're supposed to go through in this life. And I've always been this, when it comes to the millions upon millions of countless times that I have contemplated all the different things that I could have done or should have done or would have done if I had a minute to think about it, you know, all the ways I wish it was different. Our experiences make us who we are, good or bad. And I mean, I love this. I love the tenderness in this. I love the affection in this. And I love the longing for that affection. It is very palpable. You know, it comes through in very strong ways, and you did that beautifully. But when I contemplate the grander scope of the notion of this, if I take all the horrible things that I went through and get rid of them, then I might be a complete ass. You know, I may never have learned to be humble. I may never have learned to accept other people. I may never have had those hard lessons that, you know, make me who I am. And while there are definitely things I hate about myself, generally, you know, as a whole, I don't think I'm so bad. So I kind of really I love the idea of this. I love the if everything could be a little bit different, a little bit kinder, a little bit this, everything would be different. I love the notion of that. But then I'm like, then who the hell would I be, you know, if everything was like that? So it's an interesting concept to ponder.
Well, that's why I put in that first part, because we are destined. It is written. It's planned. It's determined. Before we're even born, the path that we take. And that's, you know, all paths have led to where you are. All paths have led to where I am today. And even though there's been hardship and sadness and all the rest of the garbage that went along with it, I can stand up and say, I like being who I am. I am who I am despite what took place. Because in a lot of ways, we have to choose one or the other to succumb to it or rise above it.
Yep. Thanks, Lady A.
Thanks.
I think we'll put you next if you want.
That would be awesome.
Miss Deborah Lee.
I'm on it. Give me a second. Okay. I have all tonight's
chat. That's not why I said that. It's just her name makes me do that all the time.
No, it's just that I was like on another tab because I have them all open. I'm like, hold a second. I lost it for a second. So, but you're up. We are good.
Okay, thank you. And now here is the thing, and my disclaimer here is kind of an apology rack because often I get aggravated when people don't read my entire topic. And what happened on this one was I saw what if? And I just thought that was the topic. I didn't continue on to realize that you wanted, like, steps in a different path that might have been taken or whatever. So my what if is a little different, but is it's a what if nonetheless.
That's
so it's called What If Babies Dressed in Armor. And here we go. One, yelling and screaming slices the silence, crushes daydreams and triggers the babies to curl into a fetal weep, drowning in the shouting. Two, if we shackle the teardrop collector beasts that walk the planet camouflaged as mothers and the fathers, can we chase the monsters back into the shadows? Do scars inside little boys map the path
of bruises from yesterday's backhands as broken bones rattle the daydreams of little girls with kicked ribs and dislocated arms? Or do children go on paying the price with no armor-lined clothing and no white knight warriors standing in their corner as skin is belted in blue and violet stripes? 3. Swelling red colors mark the face flesh throbbing from the sting of the slaps. Welts show in the shape of the 4 fingerprints bouncing off little wet cheeks, then glittering from the light hitting the salted silver sob trails. Punched prints swell, plumping with black-purple tints. 4. Cage the creatures, toss the keys in the cesspool, and send the children rainbows so color lights in little eyes. Spark smiles to glow on the outside and leave the battle aches tucked inside. 5. Today, if we all just speak up for them, reach out to them and guide the giggles, we can guard the child. We can break the cycle. If only.
Wow. See, that's still kind of, you know, well, it's more than kind of on topic. The idea of protecting the children, what if they had armor? I mean, well, if you remind us of the delicateness of it and the insensitivity of some people and the outright abuse that some people heap on children because they're easy targets, you know, it's an interesting thought, I think, you know, because what would the world look like if that didn't happen? You know, all of the childhoods that the psychologists, all the crimes and things that psychologists blame on the upbringing of the children, the way that the things that they experienced growing up and whatnot. Well, what if they wore armor and they weren't so delicate and they were protected from all of that? You know, what would we end up with? What would the world look like? You know, like, Lydia was saying, you know, what kind of personality would you have? You know, what would we be promoting, developing? And you do it, you know, with your beautiful, beautiful metaphors. I like when you get upset, believe it or not, you know, because you express the expressions that you use, your outrage comes out in a different way, I think. You know, it's more. Not that it's more plaintive. It's so visceral. I could see you balling up your fists and kind of, I won't say stomping your foot because that's too stereotypical, but I could see the steam coming out of your ears. I really can when something like this that hits close to home, and you write about it and you do it in such a beautiful way. This is gorgeous. And even though it's a tough topic to call gorgeous, but you know, you kind of know where I'm coming from with that. It's really hits hard. It really does. I kind of knew when I saw children in the title, if babies were armor, I kind of knew what direction you were going in. I was like, you know, okay, here we go. I was kind of counting on there being a couple of poems that went not so much in this specific direction, but, you know, that had a little darker tone to them. And, you know, this really did not disappoint. Thank you, Deb.
Thank
Lady
you.
A,
thank you for the awesome comments.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Lady A, I'll give you the first word.
This poem is, you know, you write so powerfully, and I was riveted as you read this. And I... You know, it's graphic. But the graphic imagery is so true. I love how you began it. The yelling and screaming slices the silence and crushes daydreams and triggers the babies to curl and fetal. Do you know what? Like that. As soon as you started saying that piece of the poem, I was immediately thrown back in time, because that's exactly. That's exactly what it is, because the yelling and the screaming was, it's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. And I was quite moved by this, and I'm trying not to cry now, because I really, you captured it so well. If we shackled the teardrop collector beasts,
that walk the planet, camouflaged as mothers and fathers. Oh, can we chase the monsters back into the shadows? Every single line of this piece jumped out at me, and how many other children are living this very night? And it's a brilliant piece. It ripped my heart out. That's what poetry is about anyways, is to have us feel the emotions that the writer is writing. And I just thought it was brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Thanks so much. And seriously, you guys, I would highly recommend reading Poeta's poem that's in my author's notes. It was what inspired my poem. Just saying.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deb. And Pretty Bird, your turn.
This topic is, I'm not the most nurturing of people. I'm not. It's not that I'm not full of love and affection. I am. But I am very much, are you bleeding? Are you dead? Can you walk? You're fine. You know, so I'm not the most nurturing of people. But there are certain things that are just unfathomable. And the way there's lighthearted is the wrong term. But and if I was drawn to If We Shackle the Teardrop Collector Beast, because that is such a colorful way to look at that. It's almost a way it's almost a young way of looking at it, in that when they don't have the knowledge of words like abuser, that this is very much what they do. It's almost like they feed on the pain. And when you finish that particular stanza with, you know, camouflaged as the moms and dads, it's very, it kind of stops you cold, and you read on and you get a chill, and you just kind of, your fists clench, your whole body's kind of, you know, it just kind of clenches up at the atrocities and you know, and we need to advocate for those who can't advocate for themselves. And I'm a big proponent of that. And it's funny because I was a Cub Scout mom for years and years and years and years and years. And if there was any kid in my charge, I don't even care if the parents were idiots and I couldn't stand them. If those kids were in my group, they were my kids. Them all exactly the same. I would shove them out of the way of moving bus, even if it was going to hit me. It didn't matter. That's just how I am, you know, with kids. And so this really got under my skin, and it's really kind of uncomfortable and painful, and because it's true, you know, it's a sad state of affairs that people do this, and
yeah,
the kids that, you know, are beat into submission, and they don't have a voice, and they may not even know the words yet if they're real young. They
mm-hmm.
What can they do, you know? And
yeah,
so it's a very, very powerful piece.
Thank you so much, Miss Scout Leader. That's really cool. For you.
I don't know from cool, but I appreciate that.
I'll take
that.
Three boxes of candy.
You're cool. Live with it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. We do popcorn.
Oh, okay. Do you have kettle corn?
I'm not a Cub Scout leader anymore. but yeah,
well,
I'm sure you can find it on the scouting website. But I did put Frank on the board.
That's the last one for the evening, if I'm not mistaken?
It is.
Would you mind reading for Frank, please?
Sure. I have one. I think this was, nope. All right. It goes like this. This is, each man kills the thing he loves. Ooh, I might have to borrow that title or some paraphrasing of that title, because that's awesome. And it goes like this. This is by Poetic Picasso, and it goes like this. Each man kills the thing he loves. Some men do it with regret. Some men do it with deceit. It is a terrible admission to accept that we must bear the burden of our woes and assume our guilt. Life can mean many things, or it can merely be the reflection of a man's sobering truth. For to love is the easiest thing, but to be loved is the hardest thing a man must earn. He will either understand the nature of his humanity or ignore the qualities that makes him humane. Love is the ambrosia that feeds men, and life is the elixir that intoxicates them. Fate is an ethereal light of dawn, or the path man takes on his ultimate journey to discover himself. He will be successful or fail in his attempt, but he should never be content with his conformity. Man must learn to tame the beast within him or be consumed in the savagery of his inhumanity. For he must first appreciate what he has or what he lost if he is to know the essence of happiness. He must plant the seed of love before he can see it grow. He must build that fountain before he can drink from it. Being a man is not what you destroy. It is what you build that will define your destiny. Nothing is ever to be taken for granted in life. Man must learn to not stain himself with false pride. Each man kills the things he loves. Some men do it with ignorance. Some men do it with selfishness. I've killed the thing I love with imbecility. What if is pointless when I cannot return to the past or know of my future. And poem.
The futility of it all. Yeah. I thought about that when I was posing the question. You know, it was supposed to be more of a flight of fancy, but, you know, that is ultimately the point that some people completely miss. That they get stuck in the what if, and, you know, they forget that, you know, well, you can't go back and change it. So that's kind of an exercise in you know, placating yourself, I guess, for lack of any other way of really putting it, because it's a flight of fancy, but, you know, you almost can't help but do it, I don't think. And, you know, in some ways, I think it does shape future decisions, because you kind of see the effect of the decisions that you made by pondering what if. You know, well, what if I hadn't been so harsh? You know, that changes the way you relate to other people sometimes when you make that realization. So the what if becomes almost an essential question rather than a flight of fancy. And it helps you deal with things and changes the way that you deal with some things. And it still, you know, ends up affecting the person that you are, you know, because I think, you know, like Deb mentioned in her poem and Lady A mentioned, that first verse in the poem, the screaming, you know, that was a big part of my childhood as well. And that affects me greatly because I cringe when I at loud noises, like I have PTSD, and to the point that I think I try, you know, I almost refuse to raise my voice when I'm arguing. That doesn't, I you know, just because you're getting louder doesn't make you right, you know, and it affects the way that I deal with people and a great deal. And you know, that what if that didn't happen, then maybe I'd be the one that was screaming and I'd be the same way, you know. This is contemplative. The one verse that really stuck out to me was the he must first appreciate what he has, you know. That's another thought that really the what if kind of touches on, because it's almost like, you know, that grass is green. It turns it into that grass is greener thought. You know, you're thinking about, you know, someone else and what they have as opposed to what you have, which really to me isn't what if is about, you know. It sets people's goals and it gives them something to strive for when they contemplate, you know, what if I had that car, you know? Well, all you really need to do to achieve that, you know, is to make it a goal and change the way you do things. But, you know, it's like the timing of it, I don't think makes much of a difference. But yeah, this is very layered, Frank, and I really appreciated it. A lot, actually. This is one of my favorite pieces of yours, I think. I enjoyed it very much. Andrea, sorry. What did you think?
Well, you know, I think he has.
I like the, each man kills the thing he loves. Some men do it with regret. Some men do it with deceit. This, you know, it reminds me of, like, you know, each man kills the thing he loves. It's like that self-fulfilling prophecy. The thing you are most afraid of, you behave in a way that you actually make it happen. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not, but life can mean many things, or it can merely be the reflections of a man's sobering truth. This whole poem reminds me of that one saying, is that, you know, the, that self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, you have to plant the seeds of love before you can see it grow. He must build that fountain before he can drink from it. And so if you're not doing those things, it's like, for example, you have a relationship with somebody and you're so afraid that they're going to leave you, that your behavior pushes them away, that self-fulfilling prophecy.
And you're behaving that way here, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I see in this poem. Like, that's, you know, nothing is ever to be taken for granted in life. Man must learn not to stain himself with false pride. Every line has a lesson in it, and I thought that was a terrific, what if is pointless when I cannot return to the past nor know my future. You know, which is fine in reality, but we were kind of, you know, playing with the prompt too. But I think he had, I have killed the thing I loved with imbecility. And that's exactly, this whole poem is that self-fulfilling prophecy. The very thing that you're trying to avoid or keep or hang on to, you drive away or kill because of your behavior. And that's a whole topic unto itself. I thought this was a great write.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Lady A. That was great. Deb, what did you think?
I think that it was really powerful. I agree with what's been said so far. And I'm finding it pretty profound also that it's been a front page pick. It's got, or should I jokingly say, it's only got 35 likes already. it's a really powerful piece. Like, he will be successful or fall in his attempt, but should never be content with his own conformity. And man must learn to tame the beast within him or be consumed in the savagery of his inhumanity. Each line is like, bam, 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 all the way down. It's like a lessons learned spun into poetry, into emotions, into an incredibly powerful pen. Did a great job with this.
And before I let you comment, Pretty Bird, I just want to give a quick thank you. I think we only got a couple minutes before we go off the air. It was a great time tonight. I want to thank everybody that supported us, the people that wrote, the people that called in, just followed along on the board. But, you know, in particular, the people that wrote, try and give a little love to some of the other authors that contributed to the evening's festivities. Go back on their poems on the topic board and let them know what you thought. I know I appreciate it when people comment on my rights. Everybody that wrote, you know, I can't tell you, I'm going to, you know, trip over myself by repeating it, but, you know, I can't tell you, it's phenomenal what that one thought and discussing it over the evening does. You know, sometimes people feel down or depressed or whatever, and the mood after a show like this is always uplifting and energized because of, you know, the way that you people react to these thoughts and contribute. So, and you know, I got Deb here, so I got to thank you again for making all this possible. Shameless plug for you. You know, you need to take a bow every once in a while, as much as I know you don't like it, because, you know, I guess you imagine people look at your butt when you bow. So, anyway, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have did that. Thank you, Deb. Thank you. And we'll close out the evening with Pretty Bird commenting for Frank.
This is a painful piece to me. It seems very introspection. It is spoken in verbiage that is to each man, and all men are like this, but they're not. Each man kills the things he loves, not necessarily, but he did, and or whoever he's writing about did. And I the ways that he mentions that they do it is regrets and deceit and ignorance and selfishness and all of that together to me sounds like imbecility and regret, all of it. And it speaks of, you know, if I had done this, if I had understood the nature of my humanity, and, you know, rather than ignoring the qualities that make me humane, it sounds very introspective and personal, even though it is projected outward. And so I found that really interesting, because you read it like he's kind of standing there telling guys that, you know, that this is the nature of the beast, and all the while convincing himself that, or trying to convince himself of that, because for every bad, there's a good, and for all of these good things and all of the they lead to the regrets, because he didn't lean that way in whatever this decision was. And so I kind of like the psychology of this piece a great deal.
Great comment.
Thank you.
And with that, I guess we're kind of done. Deb, you want to plug a couple of shows for the podcast so that when people come back, they know what to expect? Because you know they're going to be downloaded to listen.
Absolutely. I don't know if she's still on the line, but tomorrow is Lady A's show at 8 p.m. And
yep.
She's doing irony in history, and you could pick one of the prompts and write what it inspires. And on Thursday at 9, Sweet Pea's doing she posed a few questions like, are you the bread or the butter, the frog or the prince? Some really cool questions she posed, and she said use one or as many as you'd like, and that's the inspiration. And then finally, drum roll, Friday, Wayne and Lady A are in a grudge match at Tic Mac Po, 11 p.m. Eastern.
And it's Saturday,
rain. So there's the next several days.
Oh.
And don't forget to sign up for Monday's show. I got some really awesome pictures. And you guys could bring a poem to read to me on my birthday. That would be cool.
Monday's your birthday?
Yeah. Oh, happy birthday.
Yay.
Well, happy early birthday.
It's not about the birthday. Just read me a poem for my birthday. So check out the prompt.
Absolutely.
Hey, I'm in Jersey. If you wanted to go out for your birthday, you could, you know.
No, I don't.
You don't have to answer me on the air, silly. Anyway, yeah. Well, happy birthday in advance, and I'll probably see you there on the show.
Awesome. Yeah, great show, great topic.
Thanks, guys. Thank you for your support. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. I love you.
Love you. Good night.
Good night, Lydia. Good night, Deb.